Got a question to ask. I want us to ponder it for just a moment before I continue on. Will it be God or men? I want you to think about that for just a moment. Will it be God or men? And you may ask the question, well, what do you mean by that? In Exodus chapter 5 and verse 2, Pharaoh asked the question, who is the Lord that I should obey His voice to let Israel go? He said, I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go. Now see, I'm not for sure if this was in ignorance or arrogance that Pharaoh asked this question and then made this statement. Don't know for sure. But then you think about King Nebuchadnezzar of Daniel chapter 3 and verse 15. When he was confronted with the fact that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow down to that golden image on the plain of Dura. And he said, and who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? When he told them that he would cast them into a fiery burning furnace. So let's ask it a little bit differently. Who are we going to listen to? Who will we decide to serve and who will we decide to follow? Will it be God? Or will it be men? There's a lot of stuff out in the world today that you can read, material written by men. I mean an enormous amount. And I've heard people say, well, that's a lot of material to be reading. Who can get through all of this? Who can read all of this stuff? And yet they will consume themselves by reading book after book after book after book about what men think that God said. Really? You're going to just be consumed with what men said about what God said? Yeah, I'm not going to kid you. I've got some commentaries that are almost as big as my Bible is on one book of the Bible. Really? I think God is a little bit more precise, a little bit more concise than men are. So we ask the question again, who are we going to listen to? Who will we decide to serve and follow? Will it be God or men? Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul said this, For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I'd still please men, I would not be a bond servant of Christ. You see, Paul had already made up his mind who he was going to serve. It was not going to be men. He had already decided, I'm going to be a bond servant. He had put himself in the position of being a bond servant of Christ. He made himself a slave to Christ. That's what I'm going to be, a servant of Christ. And interestingly enough, just the very next chapter down the line, in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul would continue to write and he would say, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. He elaborated on what he had written earlier by saying, I am crucified with Christ and it's not me who lives anymore. Why? Because he had chosen to make himself a bondservant of Christ. He had chosen not to serve men. He had chosen not to please men, but to please God. And it's a real simple answer, real simple reason why he had chosen to do that. It's real simple in our minds why we can make that decision. You see, it's because God was in the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God. And really, that should suffice right there. In the beginning, God created all that there is. Brother Mike made a fabulous point, if you were not in here for class, he made a fabulous point about why we should obey God, because He is just and upright. But you see, God, we should follow after God, and God has a right to tell us what to do in every aspect of our life, because God is the creator of all things. And so we continue on with some other thoughts here. Will it be God or men? How about this? In John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43, it says this, "Nevertheless, even among the rulers of Israel, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him." That is, they did not confess Christ. Now listen to the reason. "Lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." Isn't that a sad commentary? What a sad statement was made about these rulers of the people of Israel in that day and age. They were more concerned about what men thought, more about what men would say, and that they would be cast out of the synagogue. We're not even talking about the temple. They were concerned about being cast out of the synagogue. They were more concerned about pleasing men than pleasing God. And they were supposed to be the leaders of Israel. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4, Paul would write it this way, "But we, as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts." Boy, Paul, you were spot on, weren't you? Paul had his act together. Paul understood that pleasing men was not the answer. He was going to be a pleaser of God. And two quick verses that we'll read very, very quickly here. First one here comes in Colossians chapter 3, verses 22 through 25. And notice something real quickly, how he starts out. And remember back in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10, what he referred to himself as, a bond servant of Christ. Notice verse 22, he addresses bond servants. You see, there's really nothing wrong with being a bond servant. If you understand your position and what a bond servant was, and what a bond servant as a Christian is, there's nothing wrong with that. "Bond servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh." Now listen, "not with eye service, as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." Isn't that powerful? You see, when we're not concerned with being men pleasers, but serving God, and pleasing God, there is a reward of the inheritance. Why? Because we serve the Lord. But notice verse 25, "but he who does wrong will be repaid, I'm sorry, for what he has done, and there is no partiality." Just like God rewards, he punishes too. Notice finally, if you will, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 6 through 10. Paul would write there, "So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord." Doesn't mean that they weren't serving God. It's just that they were not with Him at that point in time, where Christ is at the right hand of the Father. He says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord." Paul's saying we'd much rather be with the Lord. I mean, and really we should have that same mindset today. I'd much rather be with the Lord right now than be right now in this body. But notice how he goes on. "Therefore," always connecting to what was just stated, "therefore we make it our aim," that is to say our goal, "whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him." Pleasing to men or pleasing to our Lord? Obviously pleasing to our Lord. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in his body according to that which he has done, whether it be good or bad." You see, brethren, when we strive to serve God, when we decide that we are going to be pleasers of God and not men, we're going to be able to stand before God on that judgment day. And we're going to be able to hear those marvelous words, "Enter in, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of your Lord. You've been faithful in a few things. I'll make you ruler over many." What a marvelous thing to hear on that judgment day. So what we need to ask ourselves each and every day as we strive to live as God would have us to live: will I be a God pleaser or a man pleaser? I know what's going through your mind right now. I want to be a God pleaser. I want to please God in this life, above and beyond everything else. If you are not a child of God, if you've never put your Lord and Savior on in baptism, and yet you know what you need to do to be saved, you've already heard the Word of God proclaimed, you already believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you're ready to repent of your sins, you're ready to confess His name before men, and you're ready to be baptized, the question is, why not tonight? Why not make that decision tonight? If you know what you need to do to be saved, what's preventing you from being baptized tonight? Make that decision. Don't put it off for another moment. Maybe it is the case that you are a child of God. You've already been obedient to the gospel call. And for whatever the case may be, whatever the reason may be, is you've let it slip and you just really haven't been living as God would have you to live. And you haven't been pleasing God, and you know you need to get that train back on that track. Get it upright again. And get headed in the right direction. We stand ready as your brothers and sisters in Christ to help you in whatever way that we possibly can. If it's a public sin, or you just need the prayers of the congregation, we stand ready to assist you. We do not stand in judgment. Rather, we stand ready to assist you. We realize that we're all human too. We realize that next time it may be us that needs your prayers. It may be us that needs to come forward next time and ask for the prayers of the church, or ask for forgiveness of sin and ask for your help. But whatever your need may be, if we can help out, won't you come right now as we stand and sing this song?